And if you would this morning, please turn with me in your Bibles. I'm going to begin a series of kind of a loose series. They're individual messages, but dealing with both the times that we are in, but also the end times. And the reason why we want to take time to talk about the end times is, number one, we should not be ignorant of what is coming to the earth, because Jesus spoke about it, Jesus taught about it, and Jesus devoted two books, one in the Old Testament, a good portion of that book, the book of Daniel, to the future and how the world was going to resolve itself as far as the kingdom of God. And also the book of Revelation. God has a message for the world, and God has a message for the church. And we need to understand not only what that message is, but what the signs of the times are saying regarding this message. We are in the midst of the pandemic. We mentioned several weeks ago during our prayer meeting, and we hope you can join us for prayer meeting tonight. One of the observations that I have made is that from the very beginning of this pandemic, we have been praying that God would alleviate our nation and alleviate the world from the suffering, the death, and the disruption that we have been experiencing because, just want to make sure my microphone is on, excuse me, this morning, because of the pandemic. And despite all of our prayers, things have pretty much remained the same. In fact, I believe that deaths due to the pandemic, and I know there's dispute about the numbers, but I do believe, and we'll talk about that as we progress through the message this morning, I do believe there were more deaths this year attributed to COVID than last year. So things, and we're talking globally, so things really haven't been getting better as far as that front. They've been, at the very least, staying the same. But may I say this regarding the pandemic? It is only a part of a very difficult season that we as citizens of the world, not just the United States of America, but we as citizens of the world, and I'm not talking about global governments, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying this morning. It is just one of the many difficult things that we are experiencing. And so my question today that I pose to you and to those who are listening online is, God trying to say something through everything that's going on, or are we just going through a rough patch? For some time, I believe that this is a way that God is speaking. In fact, if I may be candid this morning, and I've alluded to this before, and I think I need to allude to it again, but I believe as far as the prophetic ministry, and may I say, and you might not be sure what I'm talking about as far as the prophetic ministry, what I mean is this. I fully believe in the ministry of prophecy, which is the bringing forth of the Word of God. In fact, not only do I believe that it exists, I believe that it is in operation today. And I do believe in the ministry calling or the ministry gift of prophet as laid out for us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And what a prophet or a prophetess is someone who brings forth the word of God and speaks as far as repentance or a message that God is trying to communicate. But I believe as far as the discerning of the times, a prophetic voice out there that is sharing with us and revealing to us what God is trying to say, I think it's absent right now. I think we're going through a time of prophetic silence. In fact, a time of prophetic silence is not unprecedented as it relates to the kingdom of God. There was a time in ancient Israel where God did, the word of God, the Bible describes it, it was under the rule and the reign of a judge and priest called Eli. The Bible says that the word of God was rare in those days. Prophets were not speaking. There is a period between the time of Malachi and the time of John the Baptist, Malachi being an Old Testament prophet who boldly declared the word of God, and the time of the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, a period of 400 years where there was really no prophetic voice. And there's one thing that I have discerned, and there are people who may vehemently disagree with me, is there is no prophetic voice that is speaking to the events that we are experiencing at this time. But having said that, I believe God is speaking not so much through the spoken word of prophecy, but through the events that are going on in the world, and you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world whom we are trying to reach need to understand what God is trying to say. Now, before we get into the text, let me say this morning. What I'm sharing with you today is not a new message. I have shared this message before. In fact, more than once. And I believe the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will share this very same message again. Doesn't mean I didn't study. I certainly did. But because the cycle of events that we are going through will be repeated until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a purpose in these cycle of events happening. And if I could kind of jump to the end of my message right at the beginning, it's to remind us that Jesus is coming soon. Maranatha, and may everyone say amen to that. Amen. Let's read our text this morning. I entitled the message, Birth Pangs. And the subtitle of the message is, What is God Saying to Us? Because God, through events, I believe, is speaking to us very, very clearly. Reading the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, beginning with verse 7, the Bible says, this is regarding the disciples, they questioned him, saying, Teacher, when therefore will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And he said, See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. Then he continued by saying to them, Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Skipping down to verse 25, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear, and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Let us bow our heads and ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your love and mercy, Lord, even during these times. And all of us here today worshiping and praising you testify, Lord, to your goodness and grace. We do lift up, Lord, Tim's stepmother, Fran, and ask for healing, grace, peace, and salvation in her life as she struggles with this illness. We also pray in the name of Jesus that through your word and your servant this day, you would speak to our hearts. May, God, we be more discerning regarding the times, and may we be more ready and more encouraged than we've ever been before as believers in Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Praise God. When we think about the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel, we think of good news. We think of blessing. In fact, what did you think of when we partook of communion today? I didn't really think about my sins, other than the fact that I've been forgiven of them. And I am free to serve Jesus. And I am free to hope for a better tomorrow and blessings in my life. But most importantly, I am free to expect eternal life when this life is over. And this is all due to the fact that Jesus loves me. And so when we think of the gospel, we think of the love of God, how God commends his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But when I read the gospel story, and I read the message that led up to this demonstration of the love of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't hear a warm and fuzzy message that God loves you and everything will be okay, even though those things are true. I read a message of repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. Reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is the message of John the Baptist. Now, some of you might be here today asking, well, who is John the Baptist? And John the Baptist is known or thought of as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that before Jesus was going to come, he was going to send his messenger to come and prepare the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist was that messenger. The Bible tells us the message that he shared, and it was a fearful one. Reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis. Jim, you want to read those for me? And Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around Jordan, preaching baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. So he began saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now in this message, and I'm not saying this message was not a message of love, it certainly was. Because verse 6 once again, the promise of John the Baptist and the message that he was given by God is that all flesh would see the salvation of the Lord, and they would see it in short order because Jesus was alive and getting ready to begin his earthly ministry. But as people came to repent of their sins, this was the message to them regarding the need for salvation in their lives. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" His message was a message of hope, but what was the hope in regards to? It wasn't so much a hope in regards to liberation from the Romans or liberation from deadly diseases like leprosy, or liberation from the demonic spirits that oppressed them, although Jesus did deliver from those things. The message of salvation that John was giving to the people who were listening to him at that time was a message of deliverance from the wrath of God that was coming upon the earth. The gospel is a gospel of love. It is a gospel of hope, but it's also a gospel of wrath. Knowing that God is a righteous God, and that God is a holy God, and that no one is going to escape his judgment unless they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Now some may say, and the mindset of our nation necessitates that we talk about this morning. Some may say to those, and I think that's why apologetics, you know, having an answer to those that say, how can a loving God, you know, flood the earth or so on and so forth, these things that doubters and skeptics throw in the face of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been created in the image of God. And when you and I see something terrible happen in our society, someone who in cold blood maims or kills another individual, regardless of what your political beliefs are, regardless of what your faith is, no one sits by and sees an atrocity of a murder or a mass murder or a serial killer or someone of that nature and says, well, we should just show them love and we should just show them forgiveness. We demand that there be justice, because a moral society, a just society, a good society does not let crime go unpunished, because if it goes unpunished, crime and injustice will run amok. How can we accuse God of being unjust when we do the very same things on a much lower level? Now, I say that, and in addition to that, let me share regarding this day that is coming, that the day of the Lord also, as John mentioned, and also other prophets, including the prophet Joel and Peter, who shared these very same words on the day of Pentecost, associates the coming of the Lord with fear awe and wonder. Why? Because of judgment. Reading the book of Joel chapter 2 verses 16 through 21, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days. I know Pentecost was a partial fulfillment of this scripture. But make no doubt about it. The words of the prophet Joel, also shared by Peter on the day of Pentecost, have the prophetic word regarding the future has not yet been fulfilled in its fullness. This is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. It shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What is this saying? What is the message of the end times? Number one, it is a message of blessing. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And that did happen on Pentecost, but I'm waiting for it to happen again. And it is going to happen before Jesus Christ returns. And the evidence of that is God's people operating on a supernatural level that they have not operated on before. Prophesying and seeing visions and dreams. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ being done in might and power. Not that it's not being done in might and power today. It certainly is. In fact, the only things that are necessary for people to come to Jesus is, number one, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and number two, the anointing of God's Holy Spirit drawing the sinner close to Him. But in the days preceding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, unprecedented revival. But right along with that, sun turned to darkness, moon to blood, signs in the heaven, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. I don't know about you, that doesn't sound like blessing to me. That actually sounds like judgment. And the reason why it sounds like judgment is because it is. And as you will see as we walk through Scripture, I'm not just picking one scripture and saying, here, it's right here. There are multiple places in Scripture that tell us and teach us that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, there will be judgments. Now, one of the things that I sense, and you can take that for what it's worth this morning, this is just the opinion of one man. But I sense the message and the spirit of the church changing. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not being critical. This isn't the time right now. It could be the place. It's not the time right now to debate philosophies of ministry. But for some time, I would say probably from the 70s, mid-70s, with a particular church in Illinois, up until now, although its influence is somewhat waning. The message of the church could be categorized in general. The message of the church could be generalized as being seeker-sensitive. You might have heard that term. Some of you might have never heard that term and don't know what in the world I'm talking about. And what a seeker-sensitive message. And again, I'm not standing here judging any minister and how they have felt convicted of God to conduct their services, but specifically their message. But not exclusively, but generally the seeker-sensitive message or the seeker-sensitive gospel stressed more of the blessings of knowing Jesus as opposed to the sinfulness of man or the need within a living soul to find Christ. In that we all fall short of the glory of God. And if you don't get right with God, you are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And it's, you know, not just hell. It's described as hell. It's described as outer darkness. There are a lot of images. But the lake of fire. That is the truth of the gospel. Not to take away from the blessings of knowing Jesus. There are great blessings. But there's been more of a focus on the blessings of knowing God. And may I say, the present blessings, happier marriage, better relationship with children, better life, happy and so forth, rather than the eternal need that we have, and the eternal blessing. But may I just say this as far as one criticism on that. I know my life is so much better and happier because I know Jesus. But my life is far from perfect on a number of levels. And if I didn't have Jesus, I would be miserable. And if I believed, if I preached and I believed that if you know Jesus, you'll never have a problem again, I would be a hypocrite because I wouldn't be experiencing what I've been preaching. So I believe that there is a change in focus that is happening, where people are now, because this is the message that precedes the second coming of Jesus. It preceded his first coming, and it's going to precede his second coming as well. That Jesus came to save. And we must be warned that the wrath of God is coming to the earth. It's not palatable. It's not politically accepted. It's not politically correct to talk about hell. But it is the message of the gospel. And that message is going to, I believe, increase in frequency. As far as there'll be, if preachers and teachers of the word of God are connected with the Holy Spirit, it will be a message that they will find themselves being brought to again and again and sharing. And it will be also a message that will increase as far as anointing. Jesus is, the wrath of God is coming. Who has warned you to flee or escape the wrath that is to come? That is part of the message of the gospel, a very important part. Now, having said that this morning, and to be honest with you, I debated on breaking this message in half, but I really don't want to. Do you mind if I go on a little longer this morning? Bridge. Who's going to say, yeah, I mind? Wait a minute, Jim's hands up? What? Let me go through these, because I don't think I would do this message justice if I broke it in half this morning. We have in Scripture, both from our text, Matthew 24, and the book of Revelation, clear signs showing that Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, is imminent. When these things happen on the earth, we will know that Jesus is coming. And I did provide notes. Did you all get the notes?
Yes.
Okay, great. Did anyone need notes? Okay, if someone get, it's on the back table. Thank you. I just slip up your hand.
Who needs it?
Elaine. But let's go through these signs very quickly. The first, and the signs that show that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. It's like you almost know the day and time on this. You don't quite know the day and time. It's a number of events that are listed for us in the book of Revelation chapter 6. And what this... And one up here, too. Lisa, one up here, too. I'm sorry about that. I didn't put it in the bulletin. And what this is, it's a scene in heaven, and there's this sealed book or scroll, and it has seven seals on it. And each seal, when it's opened by the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only one who can open this book, brings a demonstration of God's wrath on the earth. The first is global oppression. Revelation 6, 1 and 2, then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals and heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a loud voice of thunder, "Come." I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Oppression. Second seal, second demonstration of God's wrath, civil unrest, Revelation 6, 3 and 4. He broke the second seal. I heard the second living creature saying, "Come," and another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to them. Growing up, I always heard it was war, and I still believe that's true, but I think it's deeper, it's more ingrained in society in that where violence is just going to be epidemic amongst individuals. Kind of sounds like what we're experiencing a taste of right now in our country. Third seal, famine. Verses 5 and 6, when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked and behold a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." So apparently a scarcity of food, which of course brings hunger and starvation, incredible suffering. Fourth seal, death. Verse 7, when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked and behold an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, and by the wild beasts of the earth. One quarter. How many billions of people live in the world today? And I'm not sure if it's 3 billion, but what's 7 billion? My goodness. That's over a billion people dying through various means. Death general. Fifth seal, persecution. And the Lamb broke the fifth seal. Verse 9, I saw underneath the altar of souls who had been slain because of the word of God because of the testimony which they had maintained, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. So a season of martyrdom. There are martyrs, a special place in heaven for those who were killed for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the end will not come until the number of those whose destiny is martyrdom is complete. Sixth seal, natural disasters, catastrophe, wonders that we talked about from Joel chapter 2. I looked, verse 12, he broke the sixth seal and there was a great earthquake. Sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. Stars fell from the sky to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. Sky was split apart like a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand?" This day, and another great sign are these incredible natural disasters, catastrophes, and wonders. We see a lot of catastrophe today. There are hurricanes that happen, earthquakes that happen, tsunami that happens, tornado that happens, but these are unique, where the sun becomes black, the moon becomes blood, vapors, smoke. It will be a terrible, terrifying time. And it's interesting to note, it is not until this sixth seal that mankind finally wakes up and says, "This is the finger of God." The famine, the death, everything else that's happening. Apparently, from the reading of the text, they are oblivious that God is shaking the earth and getting the earth ready for his return, saying, "Get right. Who has warned you to flee the wrath to come?" And it will take the literal shaking of the heavens to finally let man realize that this is God. He is coming and they must get ready. So where does that leave us today? Obviously, we're not seeing those things. And obviously, we're not experiencing things to the intensity that we are experiencing there. But Jesus said, prior to these last demonstrations of judgment of God or of God's wrath upon the earth, and the reason for that is it's not to destroy mankind. Hear me when I say this, because a lot of people will sit back, in fact, scoffers. And doubters will say, "How could a loving God do that?" Listen, God loves us so much. And we're living under a time of grace right now. In fact, who here cannot say your life is blessed, where you have plenty of food, wonderful clothing, a nice car? We are truly, truly a blessed people. Yet, how many people, percentage-wise, are out doing something and not even thinking about God today? And because of that, they're not going to be able to spend eternity with Jesus. God is bringing these things upon the earth prior to his return to wake man up and to say, "This is your last chance. Turn to me while you still can," because many people will come to Jesus during those times. But getting back to our message, and it's not going to be that long. We're not going to be here to noon. But prior to the Lord's return, God will be sending or allowing similar things to happen to let us know that the time is coming. And not only is the time coming that God's promises are not void, they will come to pass. The more intense that they are will let us know that the time is coming soon. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 8. All these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Now, I'm not a mother, and I didn't play one on TV. So I've never gone through labor. But I know from readings that we did when Raylene was expecting our children, the uterus, the womb contracts all throughout the pregnancy. That's how the child gets blood and nutrients and whatnot. But prior to birth, there's what they would call false labor. There are labor pains. It's not it, but it feels like it might be it. And Jesus says, as far as the birth of his kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, prior to that event of great sorrow, there are going to be false labor, birth pangs that say it's coming. And I believe at least five of these seals of the birth pangs or the judgments or the wrath of God that will be experienced in no small way prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been experiencing this past year and a half, if not even before. And it's God saying to his church, and God also saying to the world, I'm coming and you better get ready for the birth of my kingdom. Let me share with you very quickly now the birth pangs of not just the pandemic, of what we've been, the suffering that we've been going through. Number one, inflation. Inflation. Notice when we read about the Black Horseman and how it related famine, not so much that there wouldn't be much food, but that food would be very, very expensive. Does that remind you of any recent headlines? It should. Because one of the fears, and it's not only a fear, it's something that we're realizing today, is that inflation is on the rise. It's something that we really didn't see at the beginning of the pandemic, but now it's coming in full force. In fact, just yesterday there was stories on several major new outlets that inflation is at a 30-year high. A birth pang, that things that you need to survive, gas, food, and other medicines and other things will become more expensive. Fear. And there's much fear in our society, and this is not so much one of the seals, but it is something that John the Baptist related to in our text, that men's hearts would cause their hearts to fail because of fear. And since the pandemic has started, fear is escalating, and people are struggling more than ever before with anxiety, drug use, and it's not recreational drug use. Hey, I just want to go out and have a good time. There is that, don't get me wrong. But the epidemic drug use that we're seeing now, as far as the increase, is mostly due to the fact that people can't cope with what's going on. The fear of getting COVID, the fear of dying, the psychological effects of staying at home, being alone by yourself, being socially distant from people, being afraid to go out. moving people to anxiety, drug use, and suicidal thoughts, and in many cases, actual attempts, unfortunately some successful, of suicide. And these are all things that everyone, regardless of where they lie as far as beliefs on the vaccine or beliefs as far as COVID and its severity and whatnot, no one can deny the facts that our nation, our country, and perhaps the world, I didn't study what other countries were experiencing, but I would assume it's the same. Panic is epidemic. Death, according to the World Health Organization, there was a sharp increase in the United States in deaths in the year 2020. Prior to 2019, deaths were steadily increasing percentage-wise, and that would make sense since population has been increasing in our country. And the rate of increase prior to 2020 was 1% a year, almost steady. It's like a if you were to look on the graph. The point graph on that, it's a steady line, just 1% until we hit 2020, where deaths went from 2.8 million in 2019 to 3.4 million in 2020, an increase of 18%. That's 18%, that's 17 percentage points more than it has been in years. And it just hasn't been COVID either. In fact, COVID is, I think, the third or fourth leading cause, and that certainly has been a contributor. But increased death and dying, it is happening. And it's a sign, it's a birthday. I'm coming, and I'm coming soon. Peace taken from the earth. Now, we might not be at war, so to speak, right now. We may not have troops in the trenches. But are we not experiencing unprecedented civil unrest in our society today? Terrible, devastating riots in our major cities. Some folks say that crime is on the decrease in our country. However, murder, which is the most violent of all crimes, is up 30%, or was up 30% in the year 2020. That's a huge increase from the year before. And this might go toward, more towards fear, but I put it in this category as well. According to CBS MarketWatch, and I'm getting these from major news sources, not some, you know, internet nut who operates out of his basement. And you know, the Washington Post is where I got the murder rates from, World Health Organization death rates, New York Times, the inflation rate. CBS MarketWatch says gun sales are the highest, In 2020, the highest on record, and 50% of all new gun sales have been by women. Percentage-wise, usually women only make up to 10 to 20% of gun owners, and now it's up, at least sales-wise, is up 50%. And then oppression. And we're free people. We live in a free country, but it's not as free as it used to be. And these past 18 months or so, we are seeing things in this country. It's worse in other countries. I don't know if anyone's been noticing what's going on in Australia today, but it is incredible. And we need to pray for that, the people in that country. But we are seeing things in this country that you would only think you would experience in Canada. Some people, or China, excuse me. And some people might disagree with me. But one in every state, one person during this pandemic, one person has had the power to decide when you can have church, if you can have church, and how you can have church. Whether you have church with mass or without mass, whether you can sit together or not sit together. In fact, we had a lot of churches have services outside during COVID with cars that were six feet apart with their windows rolled up. We didn't see that here, but this was going on a lot, and people were doing it. We had limits on number of people who could worship, including the state of Connecticut. And may I say, Connecticut really wasn't bad compared to others. We were able to restart services very, very quickly. And the town has been very good as well. But two things really, really have bothered me about this. Number one, the zeal of law enforcement in enforcing these rules. Some of the images that we're getting in Australia of people for not wearing a mask or people being out, you know, being tackled or police encroaching upon an active worship service. Just really, really frightening how quickly one of the most benign entities within our society, a church, can be treated so harshly. But also the ease of complicity by the church, how easy it was for the church to go along with everything. And let me tell you one of the most disturbing things, and again, some of my colleagues might disagree with me, and I don't mean any disrespect to anyone in saying this, but there were many churches that if you wanted to go to church, you had to first register. So you had to go online and reserve yourself a seat so that you could go. That sounds like China. And that is definitely oppressive. And there were just people who were just fine with that. What we did to avoid even thinking about that, and I never considered it anyways, was to have two services so it wouldn't be an issue. We'd never have to turn anyone away. As many people who wanted to come could come. But one person given the authority to do that without question. Birth pangs. Jesus is coming. So where does that leave us this morning? These things, again, this what we're going through as a country. And as this is a global thing, which is another reason why I believe this is a sign from God, because the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will be global. And although I talked a lot about United States statistics, I'm sure these statistics and experiences are being seen all over the world. Certainly, economics, death would be the same. But it's not God just saying, oh, you miserable earth people, I hate you so much, so I want to torture you. Saying, wake up. I'm coming. This is nothing compared to what's going to happen on the earth. It's a taste. But it should be a taste to say, I don't want any part of this. I want Jesus. But regarding this, three things. Number one, if you know Jesus, we shouldn't be afraid, because this is all part of God's plan. But number two, as John says in Luke 21, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. We may not be happy with what we're seeing around us. Definitely not happy at the suffering we might be seeing. But we should be joyful, because soon this mess is all going to be over and we're going to be with Jesus forever. Look up, your redemption is drawing close. Secondly, though, if you're playing with God, God is really speaking to you. Now is the time to get right with Him and to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And thirdly, this should be a challenge to the church. And what I mean by that is this. If these are birth pangs, and I don't see how you could see that this isn't a warning that Jesus is coming soon. I just really don't. And may I say, not to get too much off the subject, but one of the disturbing trends that I see in Christianity, born-again Christianity, is getting away from the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as laid out for us in the book of Matthew chapter 24, Luke 23, book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, 1 Thessalonians 4, the book of 2 Thessalonians, about there being a mighty outpouring, a great falling away, wrath and judgment, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many born-again pastors are getting away for that and saying that's a false message. It is not. Events, and not just the events that I shared with you today, alignment of nations, what's going on in Israel. There's so much. Europe is another big thing. I know I'm just kind of throwing things at you. People are getting away from it. The truth of the message and of the message of Christ and how things are going to be resolved at the end of time, God is showing us those things. So as a church, we need to make most of every opportunity that we have to share Christ with others and warn them. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath? Those are the words I'd like to leave you with today. Who is warning those to flee the wrath that is coming? Because even within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are a great number of people who don't think it's going to happen. In fact, I've listened to and I've sat in ministerial meetings, and no one's even brought up even a hint of we're in the last days, we better get going. And when people say things are never going to get back to normal again, in a way I kind of believe them, because I think it falls right in line with Scripture. Let's make the most of every opportunity in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing a chorus.